Hello, and welcome to Portland Christian Center's podcast. The following message, titled, How to Win at Life, is part one of our new series in Proverbs titled, Proverbs, A Field Guide to Winning at Life. This message is presented to us by Pastor Ray Noah, lead pastor of Portland Christian Center. So now let's join Pastor Ray as he shares with us this week's message.
Books by many different authors on a variety of topics. It has since then, in these 20 so or less than 20 years, grown into a series that now is over 1,600 volumes, and it's growing. I'm sure you've heard of it. In fact, some of you may even have a copy or two or three, as our family does, on your shelves. It's called For Dummies. Anyone ever heard of the For Dummies series? How many of you own one of those dummy books? Well, the books in this dummy series are intended to be non-intimidating instructional guides on the various topics that they cover. Now, the title is not meant as a put-down. I would have gotten in trouble if I called somebody a dummy when I was growing up. It was kind of a put-down, but the title isn't meant as a put-down, but as the subtitle reveals, as simply a reference for the rest of us. A reference for the rest of us. And there now seems to be a dummy book on just about any topic for which we need wisdom in life. Investing for dummies. Computers for dummies. I even saw one, Facebook for dummies. Cooking for dummies. Here's one, raising goats for dummies. Bill and Jan, you could do one, alpacas for dummies or llamas for dummies or something like that. Living gluten-free for dummies. Dating for dummies. Parenting for dummies. Government for dummies. I'm just kidding on that last one, but maybe there ought to be. You see one up there that intrigued me, got my attention, Law for Dummies. It's a big seller among lawyers for obvious reasons. There was even one called Sex for Dummies. I didn't think anybody was that dumb. Apparently they need one of those. Someone told me that they even have one called Preaching for Dummies, and they offered to buy me a copy. I don't know, but I think I'm offended by that. But what's the big deal about these dummy books, this dummy series? Well, here's how one satisfied customer explained his appreciation. He said, I buy these books because whatever the subject matter, they spell it out for me in simple terms. They make the complex understandable. They take the intimidation out of the learning process, and even a regular guy like me can get it. Even a regular, non-technical layman like me can get it. Well, wouldn't it be great if there were this kind of mother of all dummy books for every issue, every need, every question that we have that covered every subject matter for which we need wisdom in life? Maybe they could just call it Life for Dummies. Well, the good news is there is just such a book. You're probably holding it in your hand right now, or it's on your lap or sitting beside you. It's called the Bible. The Bible, which says of itself that even the simple can become wise. Even the simple can become wise by understanding and applying its commands. Psalm 119 says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making what? Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord make wise the simple. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Just by following the word of God, we're warned where not to go, and we're rewarded for where we ought to go and what we ought to do. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is the book that we're going to be covering this summer in this sermon series, the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 1, we're told why this particular collection of wise sayings was even written. Why? For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a discipline and a prudent life. doing what is right and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So even if we're not too bright, you and I can learn to live successfully by paying attention to this divine field guide, if you will, for winning at life. It's as simple as that. Just paying attention and doing. You don't have to be very smart. You don't have to be well-educated. Just obedient. Just obedient. Start doing that, friends, and here's what will happen. Others will think you are absolutely brilliant. Even though you may not be, they will think you're absolutely brilliant. They will be amazed at your judgment, astounded by your insight, attracted to the successful way that you seem to navigate life simply because you know the word and you do the word. You know God's word and you obey God's word. You will be a life-giving breath of wisdom in a culture that is characterized these days by the death of common sense. You'll be a life-giving breath of wisdom. There just seems to be a basic lack of wisdom and a lack of just basic wisdom, foundational wisdom out there these days in the world. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how they're just, it's like people miss school on the day that wisdom was being handed out? You read about it, you see it, you watch it every day, not only in the news of the famous people that are out there making some dumb mistakes, but you see it every day up close and personal, in the place you work, where you go to school, maybe even in your own family. Just a basic lack of wisdom from the known and the unknown as well. Congressmen who tweet inappropriate pictures of themselves. Well-known college coaches, high-profile college football coaches who get caught trying to cover up illegal payments for their star athletes, government officials who are trying to spend our country's way out of debt. But it's not just the famous people who are messing up. Ordinary people do it all the time as well. You see foolish stuff every day that just makes you scratch your head and go, what were they thinking? Parents who allow their 16-year-olds loose in Cancun with their friends without supervision on spring break. Lonely women looking for the love of their life through an internet relationship. Middle-aged men trading in their 30-year marriage for a fling with a young thing. And you just scratch your head and you say, how could anybody be that foolish? The world is just full of fools. The world is just full of fools. Now get this, not necessarily dumb people. Not necessarily unintelligent people. Not necessarily unsuccessful people, but foolish people nonetheless, who have lived in contradiction to God's laws. Not dumb, just living in contradiction to God's laws. They're called fools. Now listen to me. All it takes to win at life is to simply obey the field guide, the Bible, the Word of God. And you will have happiness and fulfillment and stability and peace and pleasure in your life in spades, more than you ever dreamed you could have. Just like the dummy books, Proverbs is a reference for the rest of us. It is a divine instruction manual made simple. It is divine instruction made simple for regular guys, regular people like us. It's pithy wisdom and just very simply, very clearly spells out how to navigate life wisely, even though we're living in a world that's a churning sea of chaos. So this morning, just by way of introducing this amazing and wonderful book called Proverbs, I want us, since we're on a voyage together this summer, I want us to get a crow's nest view of the book of Proverbs, just by way of introduction. Now, biblical Proverbs, I want you to know this, biblical Proverbs are not the fountainhead of theology. But rather, this is the condensation of theological truth put together in bite-sized form. So this is really theology already exposited. We're not going to exposit this like we would a passage in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount or a passage in Matthew. These are just sayings that have been taken out of the theology that we already know, the theological truth that we already know, and they're brought to us in memorable ways, in soundbite kinds of sayings. They paint a clear picture between right and wrong, between good and bad, even between better and best, typically by contrasting wisdom to what's called folly or foolish living. In the Bible, the word proverb comes from a Hebrew word that means to rule or to govern. This is that which rules or governs our life, informs our way, directs our path. The genius of Proverbs and the genius of these Proverbs is that they're short, but they're profound. Even a regular guy like me can get it. And therefore, because they're short and they're profound, they're easy to remember and they're simple to apply. Now, every age, every culture, every people group, even probably every family uses Proverbs, not necessarily biblical Proverbs, but just Proverbs, because every culture has them. Use these concise sayings to convey moral or sometimes even practical truth. We all have proverbial statements that our parents passed on to us. That chances are, if you're a parent, you will or you have already passed on to your children. The world is full. Our culture is full of these kinds of proverbs. For instance, you're familiar with the one, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Doctors don't like that saying because they'd go out of business if we ate apples all the time. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight and the dog. A stitch in time saves. I never knew what that meant until yesterday when I thought about it. Like, oh, that's what they mean by that. Here's one that my father, I don't know if it was original with him, but I heard this a few times as I was growing up. He said, keep your mouth shut and appear to be a fool. Open it and remove all doubt. We all have these proverbial statements. When it comes to these biblical proverbs, most of us could name a few, probably more than a few, that have stuck in our heads because of their memorable message. The one that comes to my mind first is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say it with me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. How about this one from the King James Version? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How about this one? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. They're memorable. We know a lot of these proverbs already. Sometimes they're quite colorful. I like this one. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. It's a good one. It's memorable. It's colorful. A shiftless sluggard. That's hard to say together. A shiftless sluggard puts his fork in the pie, but is too lazy to lift it to his mouth. Now, I know by that I'm not a shiftless sluggard. We went over to some friend's house, the Martin's house, this week and had blackberry cobbler. Oh, man, and I was dishing that in. I was exercising my arm on that one. Here's a great one just before lunch. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Yeah. Now, here's something that I want us to do that I think will be a little bit fun. I want us to come up with some PCC, some Portland Christian Center Proverbs. So I'm going to ask you to think through. They could be colorful. They can be taking biblical truth and putting it into a proverb. It could be something that we've been talking about studying and it gets said over and over here over time. And I would like for you to write those on your friendship cards or email them and go to our Facebook page and write them down. I think it'd be fun for us to come up with our own set of Proverbs, specifically for Portland Christian Center. And I want you to get those to me and we'll share those from week to week. Like, here's one, he that saveth seats shall lose his standing. Or you could come up with parking. He that giveth up his parking shall be rewarded greatly in heaven and loved by other people in the church, or something like that. Here's one that we've talked about before that you could just take and say, you know what, I've heard this several times and this is stuck in my mind and I want to turn it into a proverb. God is concerned more with my holiness than with my happiness. Or there's an emerging truth that I'm discovering with a young friend of mine. We're going through a book together and we're talking about developing a list of core values that we want to guide our lives. And I was thinking about it on Friday. I'd met with him earlier this week, and it's something like this: what happens to me is not nearly as important as what happens in me. So I would encourage you to begin to think about these proverbs, and let's have some fun with this as well and come up with our own set of Portland Christian Center proverbs. I think it'll make this journey even more meaningful. It'll be fun too. Now, let's get back to Proverbs. So, who wrote these wise sayings? Well, the Hebrew title clues us in. It's called Mishlei Shlomo, the Proverbs of Solomon. Mishlei Shlomo. Shlomo. Solomon. Hebrew. The Proverbs of Solomon. So, most of them were written by King Solomon, the wisest man outside of Jesus who ever lived. Although some of them were written by Agur, and some of them were written by a man whose name is King Lemuel. I want you to realize this, though. Whether it's the book of Proverbs or any other book that we study in the Bible, really, it's not just the human author that we need to be concerned with, but let's remember that the real author of all of these books, and this book in particular, these wise sayings in particular, the real author is the Holy Spirit. The real author is the Holy Spirit, who inspired these wise people, these wise men, to write down some very practical and simple instructions. Because the Holy Spirit is concerned that we know how to win at life. I'm so thankful that God inspired this through Solomon and these others, because he wants us to navigate life wisely and to win at life. Now, the key verse in Proverbs is chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to talk about that today. It's not a real exciting verse. It may not be one that you have even memorized, but I'd like for you to think of it with me, because this keys the rest of this book. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, which says, and why don't you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. In the time that remains, I want to unpack this one verse, because it reveals the critical core for grasping Proverbs and for having what it takes to win at life. I want you to look at four phrases in verse 7. Fear of the Lord, knowledge, fools, and discipline. And there's a fifth word back up from verse 2, understanding. Those five words, and then we'll mention a sixth word by the end of this message, wisdom. Wisdom is the end game. It's the ultimate goal. It's the end of the journey, or it is the journey that we're going on to attain wisdom that enables us to honor God with the way we live, which is really winning at life. So let's unpack these phrases. Let's begin with the phrase, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, that's not a phrase that's real acceptable in our society these days. No one wants to be afraid of anything. Misunderstood. We often don't use this anymore because it seems like an old school kind of phrase, the fear of the Lord. But Solomon says that that's the starting point for gaining wisdom. So what does it mean to have fear of the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean cowering in the corner in abject terror of the divine. Only those who aren't in a right relationship with God live in that kind of fear, and they probably need to if they're not in right relationship with God. But that's not what Solomon is really talking about here. The fear that Solomon talks about is simply this, friends. When you hear the term fear of the Lord, it simply means a loving reverence for God. What is the fear of the Lord? A loving reverence for God that evidences itself in obedience to his word. How do you love God? Obedience to his word, submission to his will, awe of his power, and love for his person. Love for who he is. Obedience, submission, awe, and love. And quite frankly, knee-knocking terror at the consequences of ignoring his commands. That's a part of it. Not all of it, that's a part of it. You know, as a kid, I loved my father immensely. And I respected his rules most of the time. When I didn't, I suffered the consequences. But from that relationship, I grew to understand that love and fear were not mutually exclusive realities. They're not mutually exclusive. In fact, the mixture of love and fear made for a pretty tasty cocktail of security and confidence in my life. If it was all love, that wouldn't have happened. If it was all fear, that wouldn't have happened. But together, there was a lot of security and confidence in my life that grew from that. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Where there is fear of God to keep you, to keep your life, the enemy can find no way to enter." Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Such is the fear of the Lord. Such is the fear of the Lord. Love and respect. Those who imbibe in that drink will have nothing to fear except the loss of that fear. We have nothing else to fear except the loss of the fear of the Lord when we live in love and respect and fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. The second phrase is knowledge. Knowledge. It refers to becoming informed with the contents of God's Word. You can't have biblical knowledge if you don't read the Bible, if you don't study the Bible. It's the accumulation of biblical facts that comes from the habitual and deliberate act of studying. Deliberate and habitual. And it's necessary to wisdom, fear of the Lord, and knowledge. Now keep in mind that as we talk about knowledge, the beginning point of knowledge has to be the fear of the Lord. Has to be this loving reverence for God. Because without that, then knowledge is really of little value. Understand that if we don't fear the Lord, then we can gain all the knowledge in the world, but it really is of very little value, of no value. In fact, it might be counterproductive knowledge that we have. Knowledge without fear only produces spiritual eggheads and religious Pharisees. There's a lot of people like that. They have knowledge without the fear of the Lord. But we need to get knowledge by deliberately and consistently studying God's Word. The third phrase is the word fools. Fools. Now, the word fools that's used here doesn't refer to incompetent, unintelligent people. Rather, the Hebrew word for fool is one who is morally deficient. Morally deficient. In this context, it's the one who is a know-it-all, one who is closed-minded and unteachable. They are resistant to learning, and they resent discipline. Resistant to learning, and they resent discipline. Now, notice that Solomon doesn't say that this fool necessarily resists knowledge, the accumulation of facts. In fact, the fool may be quite knowledgeable, extremely knowledgeable, able to spout facts on a lot of biblical topics, subjects. But they're a fool because they lack understanding of how to apply wisdom in their life and the discipline to do it on a daily, intentional basis. They lack understanding. That brings the fourth word to mind, which is found back up in verse 2, and it's the word understanding. Understanding. Proverbs uses this idea of understanding quite a bit in connection with knowledge and wisdom. Understanding refers to the ability to properly arrange biblical facts. In other words, if you want to be knowledgeable, you have to study God's Word. And if you want to be a person of understanding, then you need to learn how to discern to correctly handle God's Word. It's not just enough to know it, but we have to have discernment in knowing how to correctly handle, to rightly divide the Word of truth. I want to give you a simple little formula for growing in understanding, which is a critical part of becoming a wise person and living a wise life. It's very simple how this is done. Well, let me give you the formula for this. First of all, you need to memorize the word. Memorize the word. Hide it in your heart. Memorize it. Secondly, you need to meditate on the word. Soak it into your spirit. Saturate the word of God in your life. Just sit and soak, saturate in the word of God. You can memorize it, but not really absorb it. So memorize it. Get it into your heart, into your mind. And then soak in it till it becomes a part of your spirit. Then three, master the word. In other words, apply it consciously and consistently every day of your life. That takes discipline, which we'll get to. But to say, I've memorized this, I've meditated on it. Now, how can I go about applying it strategically, intentionally, applying it in my life today? There's a big gap in that, I think, for a lot of people who will read the word, but then they walk away and it's as if they forgot it. We have to intentionally look for ways to master it, apply it in our lives. And then finally, minister the word. Minister the word. Share it. In other words, you memorize it, you've soaked in it, you're mastering it now. Share it. Share it by modeling it in real life and talking about it with the people that God has brought into your life, whether they're Christian or not. Bringing up this as a matter of principle, as a core value in my life. You try, you practice those four things early, often, consistently, strategically. You will be a person who grows in biblical understanding. Memorize the word, meditate on the word, master the word, and minister the word. In other words, not only a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So that practice then leads to the fifth key word I want you to notice. It's the word discipline. Go back to verse 7, the word discipline. Discipline figures prominently as well in the book of Proverbs because it's the development of discipline that allows for knowledge and understanding to grow into wisdom, which is what we're ultimately after, to live a wise life. Discipline is the intentional and consistent practice of applying biblical truth to real life. The consistent and intentional practice of applying biblical truth to real life. Not just theory, but reality. It's discipline that moves you to turn off the TV and read the Word of God a little bit. It's discipline that allows you to sit down your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your whatever and listen to the Word of God as it's being taught. It's discipline that decides to get up early, to devote yourself to prayer. It's discipline that is determined to apply God's word in every decision, to stop at those warning, flashing warning lights, spiritually speaking, and says, before I leap, I need to think about this. What will this lead to? What will the consequences be? Will this honor God? Will this have unintended consequences in my life? It's discipline that causes us to stop and to apply. Discipline ignites the fuel of biblical knowledge and spiritual understanding so that it burns hot into wise living. Discipline. Godly wisdom. What these all lead to. Godly, with wise living, godly wisdom. That's what we're after. And that's what the book of Proverbs, that's what God through the book of Proverbs is offering us on this journey this summer. So, how do we get there from here? Just a couple of thoughts in closing. The most important step, friends, don't underestimate this. Don't ignore this. Don't overlook this. The most important step is to recognize that true wisdom comes from God. True wisdom comes from God. God is true wisdom. He is the source of all wisdom. And God's promise is to give His wisdom to all who are willing to pursue it the Proverbs way. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." The Lord gives wisdom. True wisdom won't come from the Wall Street Journal. It won't come from the college textbook. It won't come from Rush or Deepak or Zig Ziglar or Oprah, or it won't come from Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura or Dr. Ruth. It comes from God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, real wisdom, he should what? Ask God. He's the source who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It comes from God, and we start by asking God for it. Then the other critical step is that we must pursue that wisdom above all else. We must pursue godly wisdom more than anything else. That's the caveat that James goes on to give us in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, that we have to be absolutely single-minded about attaining and living in God's wisdom. We have to be passionately, ruthlessly committed to going after God's wisdom. I want you to do something for me. I hope all of you will do this right now. I want everyone to hold your breath until I'm finished, and then we pray. It'll just be 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. Try it. Just take in a collective Portland Christian Center breath and just hold your breath till I'm done. The Hebrew word for wisdom is interesting. It's chokmah. And it means to pound something in. It means to drive knowledge and understanding and application of God's truth deep into your life. If you were to hold your breath for those 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes, like I ask, some of you have already let go because you couldn't do it. But if you were able to, if you got to that 2 minutes, Pastor Joel, you still doing it? Let's just wait till he turns blue. When you got to that point of the second or the third or the fourth minute, I guarantee you would be pounding your thighs or your neighbors, turning blue, desiring, deeply desiring oxygen. It's until we desire wisdom as much as we desire air itself, life itself. Until we desire it that much, we're not going to enter into the kind of wisdom that God wants to give us. That's the picture that Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 paints. It says, collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ear to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. Make insight your priority. Don't take no for an answer. Search for it like a prospector panning for gold. When we desire God's wisdom as we desire air, we will begin in earnest the journey to becoming wise and well on our way to winning at life like God wants us to win at life. So let's start by asking God. Let's do that. Let's do that right now. And then let me suggest that you get deadly serious about God's word and about this journey of discovery, of wisdom. I want to ask you, if you would, to join me in reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. I know some of you are already reading a different Bible reading plan, the New Testament plan, but I want you to add Proverbs into that. Read one proverb, chapter of Proverbs every day, the 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for every day of the month. I think God made it that way because he knew we would need fresh wisdom every day that we get up and go about our lives. Read one chapter a day. Make it the corresponding day of the month. Today is the third. Read Proverbs chapter 3 before you go to bed tonight. And then each week, not every day necessarily, but each week, I want you to pick out one particular verse that stuck out to you. And I want you to memorize it. Memorize it. And then meditate on it. And then master it by applying it. Say, God, help me to apply this particular verse in my life. Maybe it's the one about trusting in the Lord. Maybe it's the one about bringing your the first fruits of your income and honoring God with that. Any number of verses you'll find that just jump out at you. Choose that verse, memorize it, meditate on it, master it. In other words, specifically, intentionally, consistently work to apply it in your life and minister that word out. In other words, model it for people and talk to them about it until it becomes second nature to you. Do that throughout the week and watch what happens. You will go on a journey with me this summer of growing in wisdom and winning at life. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, your word says that if any of us lack wisdom, all we need to do is ask. Because you are a generous giver. We're not to be double-minded and doubtful in asking. We're to come boldly before you and say, God, I want your wisdom. And then we go after it with passionate, ruthless obedience. God, I pray that Portland Christian Center collectively and each of us individually over the course of this summer will begin to grow in wisdom like we've never grown before. God, make us a wise people and help us to live wisely. Ways that honor you and release your full blessing into our lives. This I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Portland Christian Center's podcast. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday at 10:15 a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pcctoday.com.